brings that from the heart because she's got a testimony. She knows what the Lord has done for her. And when I hear that song, it reminds me of what the Lord has done for me as well. And we should all have a desire to share about our Jesus. Before I get to my message this morning, this coming Thursday is Veterans Day. And as you pulled into the church this morning, you may have noticed the flags are all placed on the graves of those that are military people. Veterans Day is different from Memorial Day. Memorial Day, we honor those that have passed either in service or since their service. But Veterans Day, we acknowledge those who have served that are still with us. And this morning, I'd like to ask all of our veterans that are here if you'd stand for just a moment. Would you just stand? Any veterans that we have in the congregation today served in the military? Okay, I know we have others. They're just not here today. Brother Phil, what branch of the service did you serve in?
United States
Marine Corps. Thank you, brother. We appreciate your service. Thank you. I know Brother Tim Buchanan has served, and I believe Brother Jimmy Hicks has served, and there may be others that aren't coming to my mind right now, but we appreciate them. They're sacrificed involved in serving our country, and we certainly appreciate that. Thankful for each one that's gathered with us today. Somebody just whispered to me that Sister Opal Ridley is in the parking lot this morning. We appreciate all of those that are out there, but it's rare that she's able to get out of the house. So, Sister Opal, we're glad you're with us, and we give you our love. It's a beautiful day today. I love the fall season, but it also reminds me how fickle that we as people can be sometimes. Not too long ago, when it was summertime and it was hot out, we were wishing for, and some maybe were even praying for cooler weather. And I was thinking this morning, I wonder how many of us this week have been thanking the Lord for the cooler weather. It may not have been the time frame that we were looking for, but He did answer, and we do have cooler weather. You know, some of you may be back to praying for warmer weather already. I don't know. It's amazing to me how quickly the seasons come and go. I mean, it's November already. Can you believe it? It's just, where's the year gone? And I thought about what the psalmist said in the 39th Psalm, in the fourth verse. And I'm going to share it with you in the New Living Translation. But it says, "Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is." And now we know, based on what we've experienced and what we've seen as in the amount of time that we've been here in this world, we know that life is short. Doesn't matter how long you live, it's still short, especially when you think about it in comparison to eternity. And since life is short, we ought to be more aware of what's going on around about us, and we must not neglect the things that are truly the most important. And, you know, we're on the verge here of the holiday season. And we've already been talking about that in just a few weeks away, we're having our church fellowship, Thanksgiving fellowship meal. And the following week after that will be the official day of Thanksgiving, where many who are able will be able to gather together with their families. And, you know, we all know what Thanksgiving is all about. You know, it's about turkey and dressing and all the fixings that go with it. For some people, it's about football games and about maybe doing a little bit of hunting. For some others, it's Black Friday shopping. It used to be Black Friday was the day after Thanksgiving. They're already advertising, why wait till then? You can have Black Friday specials right now. So people are all wrapped up in those kind of things. And I know it's that way for many people. But what is Thanksgiving really about? And that's what I want to talk about this morning. My title of my message is Thanksgiving. And if the Lord will allow me to, over the next few weeks leading up to Thanksgiving, I want us to think about Thanksgiving in the context of giving thanks. And I want us to consider how that we give thanks to God. And we're going to start today by looking at the 73rd Psalm. If If you've got your Bibles, I encourage you to turn, read with me. I'm going to be reading from the 73rd Psalm. For the sake of time this morning, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, although I would like to, but I'm going to refer back to it, so maybe keep your Bibles open to that portion of God's Word. But for the sake of time, I'm going to pick up my reading in verse 22. Verse 22 of the 73rd Psalm. It says, "So foolish was I, and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works." So I'm going to stop with those few verses of reading. This psalm wasn't written by David. This psalm was written by Asaph. And Asaph was David's chief musician. He was the one that was Israelites' worship leader. And there was a time when Asaph almost quit worshiping. There was a day when Asaph had a hard time giving thanks to God. And we're going to see what was bothering Asaph so much that he almost had no thanksgiving to give from his life. And in verse 1, Asaph said, "Truly," or in other words, "I know." He said, "Truly," or "I know," that God is good, that God is good. But he said there was a time that I almost lost my faith in God. I found myself slipping away from God. And there was a time when I thought that I had no reason to give thanks unto God. And I want us to think about what had happened that almost called Asaph to give up on God. What was it that almost caused him to give up on God? And he almost lost his faith in God because he saw or was looking at what was going on round about him. And the ones who had nothing to do with God, there's people like this in the world today, the ones that had nothing to do with God, they seemed to have everything going right in their life. No God, but everything seemed to be going right in their life. That he's looking around and Asaph is saying, you know, I'm seeing them and they're prospering. And he says, I'm looking at their lives and their lives seem perfect. They seem to have everything that they want. He said, they're mean. He said, they're evil. They don't have any regard for God, but they seem to have money. And they seem to have power, and they seem to have all the other things of life. They seem to have had it all. And the psalmist, Asaph, he couldn't understand it. He was having a hard time understanding it. He couldn't understand how that they got away with it. You understand what I'm saying? How could they ignore God, and how could they get away with that, and how could they seem to be so blessed? They didn't even believe in God, and still everything seemed to be going well for them. I think the truth of the matter was, is he was jealous. I think that Asaph was jealous. Why was he jealous? Well, I kind of just shared with you why. He was jealous because he felt that he had given up so much for God, that he had made great sacrifices for God, and what he did to him at that moment, it didn't seem to matter. He was beginning to think that following God was a worthless waste of his time. But hold that thought. Later on in here, we'll see that that's not what he thought. But we as God's people, we need to understand that because we are a child of God, doesn't mean that everything's going to be rosy for us. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect for us. We need to understand and realize that we're going to have difficulties in this life. Like many people that aren't following God, they also struggle with difficulties, but we're not exempt from them. We need to remember what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 when he told us, And all that will live godly in Christ, that's you and I, brothers and sisters. He said, all of those that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. So he tells us right there, it's not going to be all rosy. There's going to be things that come into our path, and we should be ready for those things. And we should understand when those things come that we're going to have to get through them, or we're going to have to experience them. We're going to have to deal with them. Brothers and sisters, why does it seem that those who ignore God, that those who disrespect God, seem to have everything going for them? Why does it seem at times that those who hold the Lord near to their heart struggle so much and seem sometimes to have nothing going for them? Why does it seem that the godless are blessed and the God-fearing sometimes are cursed? It just doesn't make sense to people sometimes. Before we go any further, I wonder, have you ever had feelings like Asaph? Have you ever looked around at others or looked at other what you were going through and maybe somebody wasn't and had those same feelings? You do your best to be who God wants you to be. You may not have much of anything, but you try to be content with what God has given us. That's what the Scripture teaches us, right? Therefore, be content. But that's hard sometimes. It's hard for us to be content with what God has given us. But yet, we try to follow the Scriptures. We try to treat people right. We try to live our lives by the golden rule in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. We understand that. You want to be treated well, then treat other people well. It doesn't say do unto others before they do unto you. And it doesn't say do unto others as they do unto you. But the word very clearly says treat people like you want to be treated. Now listen, many times you will be treated in like manner. That's the principle of that verse. But I can tell you this morning that you won't always be treated in like manner. It just doesn't happen. They don't care about God. They've got everything going for them. They're happy and they're doing it all without God. Has it ever crossed your mind, what good is it to follow God? I mean, I'm up here every Sunday, every Wednesday night, and I'm telling you, follow God. And I'm trying to give you encouragement through the Word of God and the Scriptures of God's Word to tell you to follow God. But we're distracted by the world sometimes. And I know some people, these things cross their mind and say, what good is it to follow God? They don't follow God and it seems they aren't hurting at all. In fact, they've got everything. They've got it made. And you feel like you're struggling every single day. Why am I doing this? Why am I going through all of this? What do I have to give thanks for? The 17th verse of that 73rd Psalm, if you're still there, it starts to bring everything into perspective. Verse 17 said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. See, Asaph had these thoughts, but he turned back to God, and God let him in on the reality of it all. What we see sometimes is only a small part of the picture. And he says, I'm going to let you in, and I'm going to let you see the rest of the picture, he said. Verse 18 and 20, I'm not going to read those aloud today, but it sets forth the reality. For those who don't have their faith in God, for those who have never been born again, for those who have never had a salvation experience, all that they'll ever have, they have it now. In this life. Everything they're ever going to have, it's right here in this life. And if that's all that they want, listen this morning, if that's all that they want, God is going to let them walk that path. And the reason that God is going to let them walk that path is because he gives them the free choice. We call it free will. God gives people free will. Those of you that are under the sound of my voice this morning, you're hearing the Word of God. I hope that when I get done with my message, you'll see how the message comes together. But when I get done with my message, you've got one of two choices. You either reject the message that I give you today, or you receive the message that I give today. It may cause you to think about some things differently by listening to the Word of God today. And that was the purpose of what Asaph was going through here. Man has free will and their choice in life. But if that's their choice in life, what this world has, I just want to tell you the truth. One day after a while, it's all going to disappear. One day after a while, everything of this life is going to be gone. One day, everyone is going to stand before God. Those that aren't saved, those that rejected the Lord, those that don't believe in God, listen, one day they're going to stand before God, the God that they never believed in, and they're going to find out just how real that God is. And everything that they thought was important in this life, it's going to be gone. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 13, every man's work, and you know, the Bible often talks like that, but it's every man's work, every woman's work, every boy and girl's work, every man's work shall be made manifest. In other words, it'll be revealed, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Basically, what that's telling us is that whatever we're doing in this life, everything is going to be tried so as by fire. And what it's telling us is that the only things that will last, or the only things that will endure, or the only things that will matter is what we've done for the Lord. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty sobering thought for me. I got to look at my life every day, and I've got to evaluate my life every day and say, am I living for the world or am I living for the Lord? Is what I'm doing for the world, is what I'm doing for the Lord? Who's receiving honor and glory with my life? Is it the Lord or is it the world and what I'm doing? Asaph came to the realization how wrong that he was in allowing himself to be overcome by negative thinking. And I've been there. I assume all of us have been there, overcome by negative thinking. And he realized how wrong he was. Verse 21 of that same 73rd chapter says, thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. He said, so foolish was I, ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. He was upset because he didn't have what others had. He was letting that weaken his faith. He was looking at what others had, and it was stealing the joy that he had in the Lord. He let it steal his reasons to give thanks unto God. Now he's seen again that he has so much to be thankful for. Distracted by the world before, now it's coming around. And God is showing him he's got so much to be thankful for. In the last six verses that I read for my scripture reading today, Asaph realizes that he had a lot. He had a lot to be thankful for. And as we look at these last six verses, I want us to see that how we too today, every one of us, we have a lot to be thankful for. If you belong to God, if you, through the Lord Jesus Christ, by a salvation experience, have been saved, listen, you have a lot to be thankful for. If nothing else, that right there says it all. We need to give thanks for other things, though. We need to think about giving thanks to the Lord for his nearness. We need to think about giving thanks to God for his closeness. We need to think about giving thankfulness to God for his omnipresence. And listen, verse 23 confirms to us the closeness of God. It said, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by the right hand. You see, Asaph here, he was reminded that he still belonged to God. He still belonged to the God that others had rejected. And even though he had slipped away from God a little bit here, God never left him. And God never leaves us either. If there's distance between you and God this morning, it's not because he left you. God didn't drift away from you. It's because you drifted away from God, because you turned away from God. But thanks be to God, it never has to stay that way, as we see with Asaph here. God was holding his life in his hands. And the others, they might have had worldly stuff that was all around him to keep them company. But look at Asaph. He had the Creator, the God of the world, holding him close, as the Scripture said. And brothers and sisters, I believe this morning that we need to give thanks to God for his closeness. There is nothing like feeling the closeness of God in our lives. You may not have all the stuff that makes you something in this world, but listen, you have something that's out of this world. And I'm thankful to the Lord today that we've got a God who holds our lives in his hands. And he's not only near you, but the truth of the matter is he's in you. When he saved us, he placed within us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. And you're never apart from the God who saved you. You're never apart from the God who loves you. And as you ponder what to give thanks for during this Thanksgiving season that is upon us here, give thanks to God for his proximity. Give thanks to God for his closeness to you. Brothers and sisters, Asaph realized that his life was not wasted. He realized that his life was being guided by God. Verse 24 said, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory." You see, when Asaph strayed from the truth, what got him back? God's word got him back. We learn that from an early age. From an early age, we learn the importance of the Bible. From the early age, we learn about the importance of Scripture. We get it taught to us in Sunday school. We learn about it in Vacation Bible School. Just about every kid can tell you who's been in Sunday school and in Vacation Bible School what Psalms 119 and 105 says. And it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." They learn that God's word is all of that. And God had something bigger for Asaph than worldly fame and fortune. Brothers and sisters, when is the last time you gave God thanks for your destiny? When's the last time you gave God thanks for your future? Now, if you're a child of God, your life is not wasted at all. You may not have much in this world, but that's not God's goal for your life anyway. God's goal is not for you to have everything of this world. Now, to be truthful with you, he's way too good to us. Most of us have more than we deserve. Most of us have many of the world's possessions. But Asaph, he came to the realization that, you know, even though he didn't have all of those things, and even though that wasn't God's goal for his life, his goal is not to have more and more stuff. God has much bigger plans for him. God has much bigger plans for you and I. Asaph, with his faith renewed, he declared that God's counsel, the word of God, will continue to guide him and will continue to set the path of the direction for his life throughout his life, for the rest of his life. And then God would do what? It said God would receive him into glory. In other words, that the Lord would bring him or lead him into his presence. Why? Because he was saved. Why? Because he was a child of God. Asaph had a glorious future. Brothers and sisters, I've been saved by the grace of God. I've got a testimony of faith. I have a glorious future. And if you've been saved by the grace of God, you have a glorious future as well this morning. Brothers and sisters, the Lord has a destination. He has a future for you in heaven that includes bringing him glory. That's what our life is supposed to be doing right now. We're supposed to be bringing him glory, and we're supposed to be praising the Lord with the anticipation of that place. As the 14th chapter of John said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also." When you're thinking about what to give thanks for during this Thanksgiving season, give God thanks for your destiny. Give Him thankfulness for the future that is before you. Whether it be the blessings of God in this life, see, we're not just waiting till we get to heaven for all the good stuff of God. He's got good stuff for you right here now. If we'll just live our life for Him according to the teachings of His Word, He wants to bless you. He wants things that are good for you. He just wants you to have the right things that are good for you, the best things for you that align with the teachings of God's Word. Asaph was thankful that he belonged to God. He was God's possession. You ever think about giving God thanks for you being His possession? The Bible says that if saved, we are the sons and daughters of God. The Bible teaches that we belong to Him. There are more important things in this life than money and possessions and power and positions and fame and fortune and all of these things. I'm not saying those things are bad. I'm not saying those things are unattainable for you. I'm just saying things have to be in their proper perspective. They have to be in their proper place. God has blessed many a Christian people with all of those things, but they maintained their faith and trust in the Lord, and they look to the Lord for their guidance. They look to the Lord for the direction in their life. And, you know, all of those things that this life has to offer, as I've said many times, all of those things are going to fade away one day. There's not one person in the cemetery on either side of this church that's got all their belongings buried in there with them. There's nothing piled up on the outside. They're not taking those things with them. They'll fade away. The most important thing in life is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are a believer, if you've got a testimony of faith, you belong to Him now and forever, according to the Word of God. Nobody or nothing will ever be able to take you away from the God. The Scripture says no one can pluck you out of the hand of God. This Thanksgiving, you got reason to give thanks for God's possession of you. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful this morning that the Lord has custody of my life. He has custody of my life. That means He has protection over my life. That means He has safekeeping over my life. He is in charge of my life. If I would just be obedient, if I would just allow Him through His Spirit to lead. But there's a great comfort in knowing that. And you know what? Asaph, he knew some things here. And this is important for us. I want you to hear this before I bring my message to a close. Asaph, he knew what the fate of those who did not follow God was. He knew what the fate was going to be for those who rejected the Lord, who didn't have a salvation or weren't born again or didn't have a profession of faith. Verse 27 of my reading said, "For lo, they that are far from thee," listen to this, "they that are far from thee," in other words, that don't have that relationship with Him, "they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from there." Listen, the Bible is very clear. The wages of sin is death. The Bible is very clear that everyone will stand before the Lord and give an account for themselves. And those that know the Lord, He'll say, "Enter in, good and faithful servant." Enter in where? Into heaven, the place that He's prepared for them. But what about those that rejected Him? What about those that refused to believe the truth? The Bible's very clear about that too. The Bible says He'll say, "Depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you." Listen, Asaph also knew the fate of those who did follow the Lord. I want you to see the contrast here of what Asaph understood in this portion of God's Word. Verse 28 said, "But it is good for me to draw near to God." It's good for me to draw near to God. "I will put my trust in the Lord God, and I will declare, and that I may declare all thy works." God will always secure those that belong to Him. He'll always do that. And brothers and sisters, We need to give thanks to the Lord for eternal security. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that what the Lord did for me when I was 9 years old, and I'm 63 years old today, is just as good today as it was when I was 9 years old. And however long I have yet to live, and that's the unknown in my life, is still going to be good when I draw my last breath. It was sufficient. What Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, he did to atone for the sins of humanity. And what he did that one time was good enough for all time. The Lord doesn't need to be put up on the cross and then say, oh, I lost my salvation. Take him off the cross. Put him back up on the cross. Listen, if you've been saved by the grace of God, it is eternal. You have eternal security. Are you going to make mistakes? Are you going to commit sins? Yes. And as a result of that, it's not going to sever the relationship you have with God. It's just going to create a division. And what I'm trying to say is that when we commit sin, what do we need to do? Repent and ask for forgiveness of sin. And the scripture tells us that if we'll go to him, he is just and he is righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then we're back into the right kind of fellowship that we want to have with the Lord. Brothers and sisters, those who reject the Lord, listen, they have no security in the future. They don't have the security that you and I have. The stuff that they're hanging on to, I've already said, that stuff's going to fade away. It's going to be gone someday. And they'll have nothing to hold on to. They're going to face the righteous judgment of Jesus at the great white throne judgment and be separated from the Lord for all of eternity unless they repent of their sins and believe and trust in the Lord before they get to that part of that time in their life. But those of us, those of you, myself, those of us who are followers of the Lord, we're always going to be safe and secure in him. I'm not looking forward to death. I don't even know how it's going to come for me. The Lord does. He knows when my days are going to be up here. But in the meantime, I just remind myself that the Lord is always going to be my shelter. The Lord is always going to be my protection. The Lord is always going to be near to me. And you know, we can count on the Lord. I don't know about you, but I've had some things in my life where I couldn't count on somebody else, but I could count on the Lord. And the Lord was there to help me through that circumstance of life that I was going through. Listen, the Lord, he will never let you down. I want us to understand this morning, the Lord will never turn his back on you. If any facts turn, you'll turn your back on him. I want us to understand that this morning that, you know what? God is not going to drop you for somebody else. That's the wonderful thing about our Lord. He is omniscient. He knows all things. He's not omnipresent. He's everywhere. But he's also omnipotent, which means he has all power. So he can deal with Sister Marcy and Sister Kathy. He can deal with your situation while he's dealing with my situation. He can deal with my situation while he's dealing with Brother Rule and the sufferings of his lost. And just God is big enough to take care of all of our needs. And we can find safety and shelter in the Lord. And this Thanksgiving, as we are thinking about what we're going to give thanks for, let's give thanks for God's security for you. His security for me, both now and for all of eternity. Brothers and sisters, I realize this morning at times we struggle with questions for God. We struggle with why he allows this to happen or why he allows that to go on in our lives and why he allows this or that to go on in the lives of other people. I'll just be honest with you, there's just simply many things that we just don't understand. We don't understand. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. And we just have to have a faith and a trust in God. But like Asaph, you know, he had to look beyond what he considered to be injustices. Asaph had to look beyond the world and the focus of the world. He had to look beyond that to focus on the things that are above. The Bible tells us to focus on those things that are above, not the things that are on the earth. And he had to get to that place as he focused on the future. Listen, God is absolutely righteous. And As difficult as our lives may seem at times, if you've been saved by the grace of God, we are going to spend eternity in the glorious presence of God. And brothers and sisters, that's reason enough for us to give thanks unto the Lord. So as we enter into this Thanksgiving season, I hope to be able to share some more about giving thanks to God. Hey, don't misunderstand me. I'll be here Wednesday the 17th. I am into turkey and dressing, and Sister Kathy's making the hams and dumplings. And, you know, I know it's close to lunch. I'm making you hungry. But I am into all of those things, too. But most importantly, I'm into giving God the honor and the glory and the praise that he deserves. You know, the sad part about it is too often, you know, we think we got to wait for these holiday occasions to come around, you know. You know, I've already told you I'm going to put emphasis on our need to give thanks to the Lord during this Thanksgiving season. But you know what? We should be giving thanks to the Lord every day of our lives. We should be giving thanks to the Lord every week and every month throughout the year. Why? Because he deserves it. Because he's been so good to us. He's given us more than we deserve, and he's helped us with the things that we struggled with. And he does give us the things that we need. And as a result of that, it should create that zeal to want to tell people about my Jesus. And I hope that as we go through this Thanksgiving season, we'll be spurred on to not only think about what we need to give thanksgiving to, but I hope it draws us closer to the Lord. You know, that's what I want every day of my life. I want to be closer to the Lord this morning than I was yesterday. And I want to wake up tomorrow closer to the Lord than I was today. But you know what? I realize that it doesn't just happen automatically. I've got a part in that. I've got to be on my knees more talking to the Lord. And I've got to be turning the pages of this book more to hear stories like Asaph, who, quite frankly, he's probably no different from a lot of us are. A lot of us have probably had the same thoughts and things that came across his mind until the Lord showed him how blessed that he really was. And we are blessed as well today. Any word on anyone's heart before we bring our service to a close? Anything at all? So glad to have all of you gathered with us today. Appreciate the good crowd we have on the inside. I don't know how many we have outside, but we're thankful for you that are out there as well. And we just love the Lord, want to worship the Lord. I want to invite you to come back tonight if you can at 6 o'clock for our evening service. Any other announcements maybe that I overlooked this morning that need to be made? Appreciate those who have brought blankets and throws and things already for the Belize issue, our mission work that we're doing. Those are all due by next Sunday, the 14th. So appreciate those that have, but if you want to participate in that, Walmart has them. And Lisa's receiving them in a box in the back. We're also still collecting food for the Second Harvest Food Bank. So we've got a lot of things going on, but they're things that are good. They're things that will help people in the community. They're things that will help people in other parts of the world. And we're letting our light shine for the Lord, and we're showing Jesus to all of them. If there's no other word, we'll stand, we'll be dismissed.